the best time of the year, but not really still for Badgers fans. It's March mode, ESPN Wisconsin.
It got worse.
Yeah, well, I was just about to ask you that. Ben Brust, Wisconsin legend with you. After the round of 32, the Sweet 16 is set. The Wisconsin Badgers not a part of it, but 16s of the Big Ten are. So you said it got worse. I was going to ask, do you feel better or worse after a full weekend of March hoops about now, Badgers?
This doesn't have anything to do with the Badgers, but it kind of does. The fact that Fran McCaffrey, I don't think he ever made it to the second weekend.
I can look at that. I'm not sure.
Nebraska obviously hadn't won a tournament game.
Yep.
And now both Nebraska and Iowa are playing to go to the Elite Eight. Now, it's all about where the chips fall, and obviously, like, for Nebraska, going to the Elite Eight would be because Iowa took out Florida, and if it wasn't a Big Ten team, you know, probably I probably wouldn't be, you know, starting with that, but the fact that Iowa or Nebraska, Iowa or Nebraska are going to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, when you think of Big Ten basketball, you think of Iowa and Nebraska. And no. You were correct. Fran McCaffrey has never made a Sweet 16.
Yeah, and so Fran wasn't a bad coach, but the first-year head coach coming from D2 with his bad haircut gets his team to play hard. They've gotten better throughout the year. Credit to them. I mean, they grinded that entire game. And when they could have let Florida take it away, Florida went up 3 and, like, you get in that danger zone as a team that's not like they are an offensive firepower. They're known for their defense. They have some skill, but it's not how like they win games. They don't win games because of offense. Bennett Sturts is really good, and why they didn't follow it again. I don't need to get into the game. Iowa and Nebraska, either of those teams will be in the Elite Eight. That hurts. The others is not shocking at all, really. You know, Purdue,
Michigan State, Illinois.
Those four, again, that hurts saying all those names because you beat Illinois, you beat Michigan, you beat Michigan State, and you beat Purdue.
Yep.
So I don't know what you want me to say, Strofe. My Monday and you know, whoever's listening to this throughout the day, like...
Well, we've talked about it before, and I guess I'm still curious from your perspective because it sucks now that the Badgers are only one of three teams in the Big Ten to lose in the first week.
And then I'm sure you saw the graphic, and if you didn't see the graphic, there's a graphic of a circle of all 1 through 5 seeds with a did we win
in the round of 64?
Yes. And then there's a no with a big motion W by it, and it's painful.
Yeah, Jay Kuda, one of the all-time great Twitter follows. I'm still very disappointed about what happened Thursday, but I'm curious from your perspective. A, you kind of talked about it. You play all year in the Big Ten. So once you get to the tournament, you're kind of like, all right, I want to see the conference in which we get, you know, we beat each other up and do well. And then B, you see High Point give Arkansas a really good challenge on Saturday night. So does any of that make you go,
no.
All right, maybe no. It was just a bad draw.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're talented enough to win. You need to, at minimum, win from the get-go. You need to win your game when you I stand by it. They were a 5 seed playing like a 3 seed, but when that game happened, they didn't execute. They didn't finish around the rim. They didn't run the 3-point shooter off the line. They didn't rebound to the level that they needed to. They didn't execute. Like there's nothing I can say. I mean, there's nothing more to add about the performance from High Point that changes in my mindset because High Point gave Arkansas a game. It just doesn't.
Fun team, though.
I don't care.
So, number one, did you watch the game between Arkansas and High Point?
I couldn't do it.
I was curious.
I couldn't do it.
I did watch it. They're a fun team.
That's great. What I did bet was the over in that game, and it hit. Yeah. It hit against the Badgers. It hit against Arkansas.
Did you struggle to watch all weekend or specifically
just
that game?
No, just that game. Okay. I couldn't do it. I watched every game except that game.
So what did you do instead?
Napped.
Was that like an 8 p.m. dip?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
It was
a
long weekend.
I imagine you put your daughter to sleep, and then you took a nap?
Basically laid on the couch and woke up and was like, I'm glad I missed that, and I went to bed. It was a long weekend, and it was a perfect time for me to, like, just be like, you know what, I don't think I can handle this. I've already taken myself through a lot of these games, and I don't know if I can watch High Point potentially beat Arkansas or even watch Arkansas, which I feel like should have been the bad. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, it should have been the Badgers, but it wasn't. So why? Again, this tournament has been painful. A very fun tournament. For the record, a lot of people are upset. This is a overall tournament thing. People were upset about the first 2 days. You're going to see less and less fun on Thursday and Friday, but those Saturday and Sunday games of the first weekend turned out to be really, really good. Because although you're not seeing as many mid-major teams in the second round, you're getting a lot of those, you know, fringe teams that are talented, that have a shot. And, you know, like St. John's, Kansas was a great game. Obviously, Vanderbilt and Nebraska was an awesome game.
I still don't know how that shot didn't fall from Vanderbilt at the end of the game.
Did you see he had one against Missouri that went in out as well?
No.
The same shot? Basically.
Yeah.
From half court, a little bit further up. But like two times he has had two balls.
That's brutal.
And selfishly, I was like, I made mine just past half court, go right through.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Didn't need glass. Didn't need any rim. Just right through.
Mr. Half Court. Tennessee, Virginia was the most disgusting basketball game I've ever watched.
Ugh.
Fun game because it was close.
Yeah.
And you thought the Cavaliers had a chance to come back, even though they were.
They did. They went up one, and then they absolutely crapped the bed.
But Tennessee wanted to give that game away so bad. They couldn't get an inbounds in.
What did I say before the tournament?
About who?
About the six and being a six seed. Those three seeds like Gonzaga.
Oh, yep. Goodbye.
And Virginia.
Yep. Goodbye.
Were two teams that I would have wanted to face. You beat an 11 as a six.
Oh, sure.
And then you play those two threes I thought were so much weaker.
But you say this.
Because
you don't want to complain about the draw for Wisconsin. You just would have rather seen.
Yeah. Again, they played their way into a five. They deserved a five seed. But I was like, we've done a million of these. You don't remember me saying like a six seed was kind of like that sweet spot where I was like, I think like these three seeds are kind of weak, because part of this is now like Texas is an 11 seed that found their way into the Sweet 16 as an 11 who's not like very good. They just like found a way to grind it out and find ways to win against what I thought was not your father's Gonzaga team. That 5-4 is so interesting because you go a lot of the times it is an opportunity to maybe play a high seed because you see some upsets, but because those are going away, those 5-12s, those 4-13s, that 11-6 is where there's some chaos. And if you're a six, they can get by. That 11, the three seeds, to me, when I looked at them, I was like, they're not very good. There was a couple Big Ten teams, so they wouldn't have played Michigan State as a three.
Right.
And there was another, Illinois was the other, so it was the Gonzaga, Virginia. And I'll give credit to Josh Gosser because we were both in lockstep of like who before they were five seed. We were like, oh, if they can get Gonzaga or Virginia, or if the one seed happens to be Florida, like based off like two different options of being a six and a five, all of those teams were very beatable. Gonzaga losing, Virginia losing, and Florida losing.
Yeah.
But who's to say the Badgers would have done it when they didn't take care of business against High Points? Now this is all just talking, and your mic is off as you said that. Yes, it was a moot point, as you said. I will say it out loud.
Thank you very much. I just want to go around the Big Ten because I'm fascinated by the conference. I'm fascinated by who makes it to the second weekend. Obviously, Iowa and Nebraska being the main two I'm fascinated by, and they play each other, so we'll get to them at the end. But a team that I told you I was really into is Michigan State, and they proved it in the first weekend. I think Cohen Carr is, and I texted you this over the weekend, he's just the exact type of player that I think pops in March. Just a guy that gets on everybody's radar. He can do it defensively. He can do it offensively. And he certainly does both of those things against Louisville in an 8-point win for Sparty. They will take on UConn in the Sweet 16 on Friday night. That's a team where you're so well coached. You're athletic. You might not be the sexiest roster per se in the month of March, but they are certainly a team that I've been intrigued by throughout this run and with a win over Louisville and now getting ready for UConn on Friday. That's a game I think they can win, and March can continue for Tom Izzo and the Spartans.
Yeah, this UConn team isn't as good as past UConn teams, but like this is a pick 'em. I'm still going to fade Michigan State because I don't think they have the skill as you get further down in the tournament.
Something that worried you with them, right?
Yeah, they had a kid come off the bench and hit a bunch of threes for them in that game, a player that I was not very familiar with. And I was like, that's what they're going to need.
Trey Fort.
Fort, yes. And again, I'm not buying them long term, but they have the size. They dominated the glass. Fears made plays when he needed to. I don't love them, but again, the Big Ten, good for the Big Ten. You know, if this isn't the year with six Sweet 16 teams that you can't find a way to win a national championship, the funny narrative will continue of like, well, this Big Ten conference can find their way into the tournament and then fall short. But they're pretty spread out where they have a lot of opportunity. Like Michigan, I think Alabama's fun to watch, but I think Michigan is just much better, so they should find their way. If Iowa State beats Tennessee, that I don't think is very good, that got a good draw. Obviously, we saw them play Virginia. Iowa State-Michigan could be one of the best games in the tournament. That would be really intriguing to watch. Despite Iowa State's Jefferson, their best player, going down. You don't know his status, but that's interesting. You know, I love this next weekend because if you look at the lack of upsets that there were, you're going to see a lot of these really good matchups, similar to how we just talked about the Saturday, Sunday of the round of 32. This Sweet 16's pretty good outside of like Texas, Purdue's kind of ugly. Iowa, Nebraska's kind of ugly.
Oh, that's ugly.
But Illinois,
Big Ten, baby.
Illinois, Houston is the best, hands down, the best game.
And that's where I was going to go next. Was Illinois absolutely dominant in the first weekend? 56 combined points was their margin of victory in two games.
Houston dominated too.
Yeah, and Houston walked their way there too with a big win over Idaho and then a big win over A&M. These are two titans in my opinion. They're both playing their best basketball of the season.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that they're matching up right here because
16 because they're both so good.
They're both Final Four caliber teams. So you're getting a Final Four caliber matchup on Thursday night at 9:05. So after opening day here, if everyone's still listening and takes part in what is a national holiday in Wisconsin in opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers, you have a fun game to watch at 9:05.
Yeah, it's a late one on Thursday night between Illinois and Houston. But what do you make of Illinois? Because I know it's a team you like. I know it's a head coach you respect in Brad Underwood, and it's a team you thought, even prior to the bracket coming out, was capable of making some noise. It's a really tough matchup on Thursday night, but they were super, super impressive in weekend one.
Give me Calvin. Calvin knows how to, like, his team is playing awesome right now too. And if I had to take a coach who's trying to break through or a coach who's trying to win a national championship because they have fallen short and made it to a Final Four, made it to a national championship game, I'll take Houston in this game. But again, Illinois is finally at full strength. And the thing that they have that will be interesting is the size. Like, this is the Houston team that has a little bit more offense than in years past. It's not that their defense is bad, but they do have a little bit more offense with sharp shooting from three. Fleming's a potential lottery pick at guard. Fleming-Wagler will be a really fun matchup. Just inside, the athleticism of Houston versus the bunch of tall bigs that are going to be able to use physicality. Like, it's going to be a great physical game. I can't wait for that one. That's going to be an awesome game.
I think that's the best Sweet 16 matchup, at least on paper, and a close spread, as I mentioned, Houston favored by 2.5.
Yeah, not even just on paper, just from a UConn, Michigan State, and that Illinois, Houston are the two must-watch games, and both are you know, later in the night on Thursday and Friday.
So
if you like nightcaps,
yeah,
and if you like a little cocktail on your couch, those are two great games Thursday, Friday.
As you and I both do, yes, we will be partaking in that. Purdue gets out of the Miami matchup yesterday. Miami, and that was the early one yesterday. Miami in front in the second half, and then Fletcher Lawyer kind of shows, yeah, I've been around the block a few times, hits a bunch of clutch threes, leads the way with 23
points.
Give
credit to Purdue. They lost six of the last seven games, then won the Big Ten tournament, and are playing well. Like, their pieces are really start. Braden Smith hasn't played well, really, at all.
3 for 12 against Miami.
Yeah. But Lawyer, Trey Kaufman, Wren was awesome in that game for Purdue, early and late. So it'd be tough for Texas to do it. I mean, when you look at the experience of Purdue and Sean Miller, you know, taking this Texas team already overachieving, getting the Sweet 16, that's good. That's probably their max, in my opinion. I'm rooting for Texas for financial reasons, but I don't see them pulling this off.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the end of the road. Purdue's playing their best basketball of the season. You mentioned it. At rocky end of the regular season, got really hot in the Big Ten tournament. And again,
carrying that through.
And I think the experience is what really matters here, because all these guys that you mentioned, Kaufman, Wren, Smith, Lawyer, they've been around the block.
They went to the Final Four.
Exactly.
And where they lost in the national championship game.
Yeah. So that's
to UConn.
That experience is only going to help them. And if they need any tips on beating Sean Miller, I think you're familiar.
Sean Miller's teams play hard, man.
Yeah.
They guard. They play hard. But
he's not sweating through his shirt anymore, though. He's wearing like a puffy quarter zip these days rather than the dress shirt that he used to wear when he was at Arizona.
I mean, he's probably like, you know, I just don't have any expectations this year. I'm not a one seed or a two seed. One seed when we beat him, two seed when the 2015 beat him. So he's an 11 seed that's going to run into a buzzsaw in Purdue. Iowa, Nebraska, the lowest over-under total. If you're looking for a rock fight at 6:30 on Thursday,
yep,
you're going to have one for you.
Those are the last two Big Ten teams. Oh, we haven't talked about Michigan, I guess, but Michigan just took care of business, beating Howard and St. Louis big. We expected this from them.
Alabama's fun.
That's going to be the end. They had the easy. I believe of the top four seeds, Alabama, I guess, aside from a one seed, had the easiest path.
Arkansas, but again, they didn't get past High Point, so it's not worth bringing up the Badgers here.
Yeah, but Akron, I wasn't a believer in. Texas Tech, I wasn't a believer in. And now they get
without Toppin, they kind of ran into their ceiling.
And Alabama took care of business, winning that game by 25. So Michigan gets them, but Michigan's. You and I have been in agreement on this all year.
Just deep. They're just good.
There's depth. They're good. They're well coached by Dusty May. They're one of, if not the best team in the country, because Duke, we saw the early hiccups.
If they get past Alabama, it's a great time to be playing Iowa State with Jefferson getting hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And who knows if he's, you know, if he does play, if he's the same guy, because, you know.
Is he 100%?
Yeah.
Right.
You roll the ankle that late in the season, that's just unfortunate timing for what was a potential, I think, national championship team with him healthy.
Yeah,
but hard to overcome the depth and the size and the athleticism of Michigan.
Iowa State is my next.
They've got a little more scoring than Iowa State. Yeah, you know, they both defend really well, but Michigan's just got scoring.
I think you mentioned it even in the Big Ten tournament, just the pure depth of Michigan.
Yes.
They can go deeper in a bigger game than just about every other team in the country.
Correct. They can play 7-8 guys, despite the fact that they lost LJ Cason, their 8-point-per-game stud freshman.
Absolutely. All right, let's go to the grossest game of the weekend, but one of these teams will be playing in the Elite Eight, which is just bizarre to say. Iowa gets a win, clutch shot over Florida. Nebraska gets also a clutch shot against Vanderbilt, and luckily Vanderbilt's half-court heave doesn't fall. And now the two Big Ten foes that we all expected to be here in the second weekend are playing each other in the Sweet 16. Iowa's a 9 seed. Nebraska's a 4 seed. You mentioned it's the lowest over-under of the Sweet 16. Nebraska 2.5-point favorites after winning their first and second NCAA tournament game in school history. I don't know what to make of either of these teams, frankly.
I like Nebraska. I think Hoiberg is a great, as long as he stays out of foul trouble, can be a pest to the best player of Iowa, Bennett Sturts. And then it's just, again, Iowa guard. So does Price Sanford have a game, or are they just doing everything to run him off the line and make him a volume shooter? Mast is a really good big for Nebraska. I think they just have a little bit more talent than Iowa. Yeah. But again, Florida had a lot more talent than Iowa, and they grinded their game through that. So I'm not going to – I'll probably stay away from this one. I lean Nebraska, but it's not one I can say confidently, because every time these two teams played in the Big Ten, I feel like it was like – exactly what we're going to see in this tournament game, a teams that are going to play low possession for the most part. It's going to be a grind it out type game. So again, old school Ben will enjoy watching the rock fight.
I'm still shocked by that result last night.
Yeah, as should everyone. For how chalky this tournament has been to see a one seed go down to Iowa of all teams.
Of all the teams in the Big Ten, yeah. Right? Like Ohio State, we thought, okay.
Ohio State was playing really well, really, really well to end the year, and they lost to TCU. You know, like.
Had I told you there's six Big Ten teams in the Sweet 16, I think Iowa might be the bottom team of the nine that made the tournament on that list.
Absolutely.
I mean, Ohio State maybe is right next to them, but like UCLA, I could have made a good case for. Yeah, they upset UConn in the round of 32. Wisconsin, obviously, we thought probably should have been there. And
well, they didn't upset UConn. They lost to UConn.
No, I'm saying, but if I
yes,
told
if
you,
you
that,
told me that, yes, I had UCLA upsetting UConn.
Oh, really?
Just like okay, picking brackets. I was like, they've been playing really well, but UConn shot the ball pretty good.
And they pulled away at the end.
Yeah.
But UCLA was in the fight, for sure, last night looking good against UConn until they really pulled away. But I just would have never anticipated what we saw in Iowa's win over Florida. And I don't know if I love or hate that it sets up a Big Ten matchup in the Sweet 16.
I love it.
I probably should love it, but I'm just kind of irritated
so
by it.
So I think this is a good time to reevaluate when you look at the West and the South right now on Thursday. Pick your final four in the West and the South.
I still think it's Arizona out of the West. When you say final four, you mean who's going to see each other in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, well, like, we'll go through each. You know,
so I think Arizona beats Arkansas, and I think Purdue beats Texas. So I would imagine it's the 1 and 2 seed in the West. In the South, I think the Elite Eight matchup is in the Sweet 16 between Illinois and Houston. The
winner of that game's winner of that game's going to the Final Four.
And I'm with you.
I'm picking Houston.
I agree. I lean with Houston. I think that could be the game. I mean, we talked about it already, but I think that's probably the game of the Sweet 16 right there.
That East region is crazy.
Oh, but we knew that because of the head coaches.
Yeah, but we knew that. But again, it doesn't mean it always shakes out that exact
Shire,
way.
Shire, Pino, Izzo, Hurley. Those are your last four coaches in the East region. And that's a region I have more difficulty
so
with.
So Michigan, Houston,
Arizona.
Michigan, Houston, Arizona.
You could truly convince me any of those four teams. Could St. John's beat Duke? I do think so.
I don't think
I think
so.
It's unlikely.
I don't think so.
I think they could. Seeing the way they've been able to grind out each of the first two games, that Northern Iowa was a first-round game. They shot the ball really well. The way they grinded it out against Kansas and were able to get that late.
I just don't think Kansas is very good.
No, I don't either. I thought they had one of the best players in Darren Peterson, obviously, and a really good coach in Bill Self, Hall of Fame coach. I thought Kansas, when that game was tied at 65 with whatever it was, 12 seconds left, and they had five.
Yeah, St. John's is up 14, I think, and Kansas came back.
But I thought the defensive strategy to really eliminate the clock was going to be enough and bring that game to overtime. And ultimately,
a couple turnovers and Darren Peterson.
Get that late bucket and pull out with a 2-point win. But yeah, I think Duke is certainly the more talented roster there. But
if Michigan State makes it out of this East region to the Final Four, I would be absolutely shocked.
Really?
I would be shocked.
I just.
They could beat St. John's, but if they play Duke, they will not beat Duke.
Probably not. I tend to agree with that. I mean, I still think, obviously, they're the number one seed in the country for a reason. I think Duke is the best team remaining in the tournament, at least in terms of a highest ceiling. That first round game against Siena certainly raised some flags for people, but a convincing win over TCU, who played well against Ohio State in that first round, should put them back on your radar and say, okay, maybe the first round was a little fluky in terms of letting Siena in that game.
My final four is still there. It was Duke, Houston, Arizona, and Michigan.
My final four is still alive because you talked me out of Florida. Thank you for doing that. Iowa State is my national champion. Now I could not anticipate the Jefferson entry. I have Arizona, I have Houston, and I have Duke in my final four.
So okay.
Still alive. Don't know how confident I'll feel after.
Wait, I guess you put in my graphic. Is my graphic, hopefully that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, it is what you said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I was going
to
say.
You were trying to pick between Arizona and Wisconsin, and you said my heart tells me Wisconsin, my head tells
yes,
Wisconsin.
But my mind tells me I'm.
And we went with your head. Yeah. Any other big takeaways from the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament? I think you kind of mentioned it at the top. People are mad about the lack of Cinderellas.
But there were some great games.
So, especially the round of 32.
Yeah.
It was such an impressive
round of 32 might be the new Thursday, Friday in terms of like great games and great finishes based off the NIL era, pushing some of these, you know, even fours and fives what used to be a little bit more vulnerable, except Wisconsin, to a point where like the talent outweighs the mid-major talent for them to be able to make these deep runs. You know, even a team that won 30 games was handled very easily by a team that I don't believe in Tennessee. So my takeaway is Thursday and Friday, you still should always, if your work allows, take a work partner out or take a sick day or take a day off and just go enjoy the hoops. It may not be, you know, the crazy upsets, but it's still a fun day. That Saturday, Sunday is the best of the first weekend.
So my last question for you before we wrap up, and we'll be back with you later in the week to get, you know, into the weekend that will be. What do you do tonight? Like, it's nice the women's round of 32 is still tonight, so you can still get that basketball. You can still scratch that basketball itch. But
those late Sunday games, you know, like, again, I've always had issue with the standalone 11:15, yeah, standalone 1 o'clock, 1:30 game or whatever it is.
Need an 8:45 tip on a Sunday.
Yeah, like they can put those games in a little bit more of a, you know, maybe one starts at halftime of the 11 o'clock game, you know, and sort of spread them out just a little bit on Sunday and Saturday. Both Saturday, too. I don't like the standalone. Like, they do the same schedule.
Right.
I don't like the standalone 11-1.
I can justify it more on Saturday because it's Saturday, but I hear you. I have the same complaint. Now, what do you do tonight? What do you do tomorrow? What do you do Wednesday?
Sleep.
Yeah.
Fantasy baseball drafts.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Had one last night. Have one tomorrow night, so like get some rest, get ready for opening day.
I feel like I'm gonna feel lost tonight.
Yeah, you are gonna feel lost. I guess it'd be a good time to spend more time with my child and not make her watch basketball.
I think that's a good idea. Dad of the year, Ben Brust. All right, we'll be back with you later in the week. You're still sad, I can tell. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just like it's just a missed opportunity.
For sure. And it feels like there's been a lot of those.
And the favorites were owning this entire tournament. And that's not the case for the team that we watch here in the States. So that stinks.
It does stink. But six Big Ten teams to watch, and we're familiar with all them, with only 16 teams remaining in the NCAA tournament. Action back at it beginning Thursday afternoon. Benny, thanks as always. We'll talk to you later in the week.
We'll see. Should we do this Friday?
Yeah, we can do it whenever.
Let's do this Friday. I'd like to talk after the Thursday games. Right.
So, yeah, we can do it Friday and then preview the remainder of the weekend because we'll have some Elite Eight matchups determined at that point as well. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the hoops. Get some sleep, like Ben suggested. And spend time with your family like you haven't done that. We will talk to you later in the week. It's March Mode, ESPN Wisconsin.